and welcome to the Fish Nerds, a show about fish, fishing, and eating fish. I'm Clay Groves, Chief Executive Fish Nerd of the Fish Nerds Podcast, licensed fishing guide, and your very best friend. Welcome to the show. For new listeners, we're happy to have you. We have 200 episodes on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. So go check them all out. Please be sure to subscribe. Today on the show, I'm actually really excited because I am in Poland, Maine, beautiful downtown Poland, Maine. I haven't seen a single house except for the one I'm in right now. I'm in Ryan Dubay's house, and Ryan's been listening to podcasts for since the beginning. We have Quiet Hugo here, and Hugo is our culinary correspondent. Before we get to them, we're gonna talk about them in a minute. But we're gonna be cooking some black sea bass that Hugo caught himself, and we're gonna have a little fun cooking and eating them. Also tonight we have, of course, we're gonna do the news, and Doc Martin is back with a little extra fish nerd bonus news for us, a little fake fish in the news for us. So here we go. But before we begin, I want to make sure I thank all of our Patreon subscribers. If you are a fan of the show and you want to support us financially, we definitely need your money. The only reason we've made 200 episodes is because people have given us a dollar. We're asking most people to give us a dollar an episode, and then we can keep this thing going. So $4 a month. If you give us $5 an episode, I'll mail you a hat. Our friend Brian just sent us $5, and we have two new subscribers at the $1 level, Ryan Minton and Renegade Clock. I think Renegade Clock is a podcast about clocks. I have no idea. I'm going to have to check it out now. But we thank them. Go to patreon.com/fishnerds. Help us crowdfund this show. And, of course, we need to thank Josh Lopes at lopestax.com for giving us $25 an episode, which is our very small sponsorship level, but we're trying to just make sure that if you want to give me $100 a month, you can. He can. We appreciate that, and it makes a huge difference. It's a big deal to us. So thank you so much. Go to patreon.com/fishnerds. Okay, so... Hugo was going to say something. Jump in.
Nope, glad to be here. Long time since I haven't seen you, Clay. Nice to be here. I've been quiet for a long time, but I just, been busy fishing. You know, that's what I do.
That's what
still cooking fish, yeah.
Yeah, and Hugo, he looks great. I know I say this every time I see Hugo, but I get starstruck. I don't know why. I know Hugo from the internet longer than I've known him from the podcast. So for me, I'm always like, I get just super excited about it. So we're going to jump right in to cooking black sea bass with Ryan and Hugo and me today. So here's that. Okay, fish nerds, we're hanging out. It's echoey in this house. And Hugo Medeiros is here. He's got, cracking a beer at 9 in the morning. Here in Poland, Maine. We should be drinking water, I would think. But and here's the cool thing is Hugo went fishing in Massachusetts for black sea bass the other day. And now we're going to have black sea bass tacos. And Hugo and Ryan are going to talk us through, first of all, how to catch them and then how to cook them. And we're eating...
We got the fryer later going, yep.
And we're eating Fry's Leap IPA from Sebago Brewing, nice local IPA. All right, so what's going on? First of all, where'd you catch these fish, Hugo?
So I caught them, I was fishing my kayak, had a great time. I'm learning more and more. Ryan kind of taught me a lot. How to catch these ground fish. So it was a blast. I had a good time.
You got them out of your kayak.
Yeah.
So you kayaked out to where these live. How far of a ride was it?
Well, I live inland in Massachusetts, so it's like a 2-hour ride for me every time I go to the water.
Right. And then, but how long of a boat ride?
The boat ride was probably, now I get the pedal drive thing, so it's better than paddling.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit better. I don't get scared as much. I can go a little bit further. But it was awesome. And learning things and getting, I got black sea bass all day long.
And what are you jigging with for the black sea bass?
Now I'm strictly down to bucktails.
Simple.
Can I give away my secrets?
If you give them away, they're not a secret.
I like pink and white bucktails with the mullet, gulp mullet, pink teaser on it. And I don't know. I just keep trying to keep it simpler and simpler.
I'm a big fan of simple. And whenever I'm choosing lures, if I'm new at a spot, I start with pink every time.
Yep. And I've learned from Ryan and other people. the simpler it is, the better it is, and then you just have a good time out there. And you can do the teasers and all this stuff, and I used to bring a ton of gear out there. Now I just keep it simpler and have a good time, you know, and relax and come home with good fish that we're going to eat today.
Perfect. And that works for everything. So we're cooking Black Sea Bass fish tacos. How are we cooking these? We got them fried and pan fried and deep fried. So what's their seasonings? You fillet them up. Go ahead, Ryan.
All right.
By the way, a little background. Ryan has gone to culinary school, so he knows a lot of stuff here. We're going to lean on him a little bit today. So
he yells at me all the time because I like my black sea bass simple. I can do it. I take it, I put lemon juice and salt on it, pan fry it, and cook it. That's the way I like for me.
But that's delicious. That's a fine way.
When we get fresh fish that you bring home from the salt, it's awesome.
Yeah, the fresh meat.
Well,
we do it
the nice way. We do it the nice way.
All right, what do we got going on?
Tacos.
So Hugo brought back this black sea bass. And what's important that a lot of people don't realize is Hugo caught this fish on Saturday.
So it's old fish.
Fish likes to age like meat for a couple of days. A lot of people don't realize that. They think if they grab their fish,
I forgot that.
They fillet it up, and they take it home, and they eat it. This was swimming 3 hours ago. It's not going to taste as good as if it was swimming 2 days ago or a day ago. It's actually best if you can gut your fish out and literally leave it on the bone for a day or two. So Hugo did that.
Good job.
Laid him up just before he got here. So it should be excellent. And then we took, we got just the traditional taco kit to get the taco shells and the tacos. Toasted those up in the oven. We've got some avocado, some cheese, a couple of what I call fish taco sauce, which is a pretty simple concoction of coleslaw dressing and some of the taco sauce, and then some.
You didn't get the olive oil.
Hugo likes to add olive oil to Mexican food. We don't do that.
We do.
And then
one could.
Yes. And then we add. Then you just take the coleslaw mix. It's already shredded up. Put that as your lettuce in your traditional taco. Then add your fish, your avocado, your pico de gallo, your cheese, whatever you like, and have as much beer as you need to wash it down.
Perfect. Yeah, fish tacos are simple, always a win. And, you're right about the fresh fish thing, but it's still fun to catch and cook immediately. It's still still a blast. Yeah. When we're ice fishing,
we do that. Never frozen, Ryan made a good point. A couple days in the fridge is nice for fresh fish out of the water.
Right. Now, if you're buying fish at the supermarket, guess what? It's already a few days old, sometimes up to a week. So buy it, cook it right away. But when you catch it at the supermarket,
I don't know what they do at the supermarket.
Well, they could be on ocean for 5 days before they get to the supermarket. So yeah, it can be up to a week old. So when you go buy your fresh fish at like your Hannaford's or Shaw's or Market Basket, cook it that night. Because it's already got that age. Don't wait.
Another interesting thing is that you can freeze fish you caught yourself. Will be a lot better than fresh fish that you get from the supermarket and try to freeze. Reason being is when they catch ocean fish out to sea, they leave it on sea ice. And it essentially gets frozen because sea ice is so cold. They're bringing out fresh fish and it's pretty much hard as a rock. Mm-hmm. Then it defrosts and they send it to you. If you get fresh fish and freeze it yourself, it hasn't been frozen yet the way that traditional store-bought fish has. So you can feel comfortable freezing your own fish once, just like you can't freeze meat twice.
You can.
Well, that's not a good idea.
One could if one chose to. God, that looks, that smells so good in here, by the way.
Our seasonings are pretty simple. Basically we've got a traditional bread in here, and I add the taco seasoning.
He does more than me, because I put salt on it, but get fancy. Ryan gets fancy.
But I just take that taco seasoning and put it in my bread mixture, and then the dry, wet, dry, which is just, your flour mixture, then into the egg wash, then back into the flour.
Oh, I don't do it that way.
Dry, wet, dry. Yeah, well, I do.
I do flour, seasoned flour, and then the egg mix, and then into a breadcrumb. I guess I am doing dry, wet, dry.
Dry, wet, dry. You told me that.
Yeah, so I'm doing dry flour, then egg, and then egg breadcrumbs. These are great
looking. The original dry mix is to make the dry mix. that you start with is dry. That's so that your coating sticks to your fish. So you ever bite into something, the coating all falls off? Mm-hmm. So they didn't dry it first. So you put it in your dry.
You messed it up.
Then your egg wash, and then back into your flour to get that crispy outside.
Perfect.
And look.
Look at the tube.
We got dinner.
Yep.
Perfect.
And then this stuff here, the pan seared stuff, is just sprinkled with like a store-bought fish seasoning. That's all it is.
But that, you know, that store-bought pre-mixed seasonings are pretty good.
Well, it's funny. Yeah. I talk to a lot of people about that stuff. And they assume, oh, well, Ryan used to be a chef, so he must make everything from scratch. Well, the people who came up with that store-bought seasoning was probably a far better chef than I was. And he interviewed about 200 people and taste tested it to find the perfect one. And it's nothing. Seasoning doesn't go bad.
No, it's great. And if you've ever been, get a chance to go into any of these big kitchens like at Highliner Foods, they have chef scientists whose job it is to maximize flavors. And so their only job is cooking food and then testing it on dozens and dozens of people to make sure it's good. So this is not a bad thing. Thousands even, right. Yeah.
So to think I am better at making a seasoning mix than that guy.
It's quite the ego.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm happy to buy a lot of, you know, but that is, you know, so that store-bought seasoning is outstanding. And if it's like, there are some things that you don't want to buy store-bought because that deteriorates. So right. You should make it yourself. Pasta sauce. My grandmother does not make as good as pasta sauce as Prego does.
No, that's...
We have this fight all the time.
I have this fight all the time because I am a canned sauce guy.
Absolutely.
I love it. And
Mario, I won't say names.
Go ahead.
There's pasta sauces that are phenomenal.
They are some good ones.
You think you can make one better than me? Well... Or neither can your grandma.
I don't like homemade pasta sauce. I don't like homemade baked beans. I don't like. I just buy me this stuff.
They come. They make them better.
They do.
Pasta sauce gets better in the bottle.
It sits a long time.
It does. Yeah, it all absorbs. Absolutely.
All right. So what we got here, Hugo? We got corn tortillas, flour tortillas, fried black sea bass, pan fried black sea bass. And then all the toppings. So we're going to taste this and see how it goes. Which one are you going to taste first?
I'm going to go, I'll do Brian's fried one. He made it nice for me, the other one plain, but yeah, we'll try them both. Let's see.
All right, I'll do the low-carb version, you do the other one. Fun fact, if you're a fan of The Walking Dead, I think in season 2 they went fishing in a freshwater pond, and in the TV show they walked out with a stringer full of black sea bass. So they clearly went to the supermarket...
Bottom up.
Are you doing hard shell or soft shell?
You'll be the first taste tester.
All right, I'm gonna do soft shell. All right. I'm just reaching in.
Digging?
Use my finger.
Yeah, absolutely.
Shove that in there. And I like to put my cheese directly on top of my meat.
Well, yeah, that spicy. One's spicy.
It's spicy. Around a little bit. And this is a little spicy sauce.
Yeah. And then if you want some green stuff.
A little bit of pico. And a nice avocado.
There you go.
And some green stuff.
We scour the Maine for lime, but...
Yeah, there's no limes in Maine right now.
They're out of season. They don't grow in Maine until...
June. I tried to tell Ryan about I use lime vinegar. No, absolutely not. He's a purist.
Yeah, well, it's all right. We don't need it.
I think we'll be fine.
Of course we're going to be fine.
Well, you try it.
I'm going to try it. All right, so it's funny, I eat my tacos, I peel off...
You eat them any way you want to.
I peel off the extra tortilla.
You have a taco etiquette I don't know about?
Oh, look.
You couldn't say he didn't love it.
I drove an hour for this shit.
You gotta be kidding.
Horrible. Mm. Well, with the first sea bass out of the water...
Yeah.
Never frozen. You can't go bad.
Yeah, black sea bass is nice because it's actually a very mild flavor.
Super mild,
fish.
Yeah.
And so those people who are really into eating haddock and cod and all those white fishes are going to like black sea bass. You know, it's pretty amazing how people don't want to try all the different kinds of fishes. That spicy sauce is good. What kind of sauce is that again?
That is just...
It's good.
A little bit root
to it. Yeah, delicious. We should probably take some pictures. All right, we'll be back with the news in a little bit. This episode's brought to you by the Fish Nerds Guide Service. That's right, we are here and ready to bring your family on a guided fishing trip on a state-of-the-art brand new fishing pontoon boat. Yep, I said pontoon boat. This is a comfortable but serious fishing machine. We control for lake trout and salmon, cast for bass, or cruising to a cove and catch some fun perch, bass, and panfish. Head to fishnerds.com for rates or call me, 603-986-4335 for bookings. And we are the only guide service in Mount Washington Valley, New Hampshire that could bring your whole family fishing. Also, if you've got a scout group or I got a couple of office parties, end of the year office parties, so we're going out in the boat for a couple hours to bring you out. We can even do like tubing in the morning and then fishing or vice versa and do some other fun stuff. So book us now. We need your money. I've got to make my boat payment. So give us a call. It's really scary business to be in. This podcast is also brought to you by Thirst Productions. It's a one-man digital media agency catering to small businesses by helping them improve their online presence from website to search engine optimization, SEO, social media to targeted advertising, website analytics to website maintenance, which helps businesses speak to customers more efficiently. Thirst Productions also gives back to cold water fishy conservation projects by working with select nonprofits at deeply reduced rates to help them to better share their message. So if you're a small business, needs a digital facelift, or if you work with a nonprofit in need of a new online presence, go to get in touch with Rich at thirstproductions.com. And I should say Rich is building us a new website, which has not been unveiled yet. So soon you'll be able to see an example of his work at fishnerds.com. But right now you see my work, which is not nearly as good, but it's coming soon. So how about we do some news? You guys want to do some news with me?
Absolutely.
All right. I love you guys. All right. This is for real news. Fire at London's Hayward Gallery as rotting fish artwork explodes. This is a true story.
Okay.
So in London, I'm just read you. The opening of a major new exhibition by Lee Bull was delayed after one of the South Korean artist's works caught on fire. So it must be performance art. A major new exhibition of Southern Korean artist Lee Bull in London's Hayward Gallery has had its opening delayed after a fire broke out a few hours before the show's preview. I guess they're cooking fish now. The exhibition crashing and burning, was due to open to the public on May 30th, but that has been pushed back until June 1, I guess, so they can catch more fish. I'm not sure why they would do that.
Yeah.
The gallery says that Lee's famous artwork, Majestic Splendor, caught fire while it was being removed from the exhibition. Majestic Splendor is composed of sequin-covered rotting fish. When it was shown in 1997 at New York's MoMA, it had been removed as the smell made visitors feel sick. The Hayward Show, the fish placed in a potassium permanganate, although it's not flammable, the chemical does increase the flammability of other combustible materials. On receiving advice, the gallery decided to withdraw the artwork, but it spontaneously combusted mid-removal. So they protected it with this potassium permanganate, and then when they were removing it, it combusted and it all burned right up. Following expert advice regarding the materials used by Lee Bull's Majestic Splendor, we took the decision along with that artist to remove the artwork from the exhibition. During their de-installation, a small fire broke out and the fire service attended. Only minimal damage had been caused to the gallery by the exploding fish. The Hayward reopened in January after a two-year renovation hiatus. So, really exciting. Exploding fish, it's a thing.
That's what happened to my last home. That's why I have the new home.
From fish.
Yeah, exploding fish. Hugo was cooking.
Oh, nice shot. All part of an art installation.
Of course. As you said, he's famous.
Yeah. So it's a funny thing. So I love art. You know, podcasts is making art. Telling stories is art. Making paintings. Hugo, you're a musician. I love artists, right? It's great. But sometimes I wonder, are we really artists? Or are we bullshitting? And I think rotting fish with sequins, someone's very good at storytelling. They are on that is storytelling, not the visual piece on that.
They're just screwing with people.
They are.
They're like, let's see if I can do this. Rotting fish.
And so at the same time, I kind of adore them because because they've made this artwork that's complete garbage and they're able to sell it to people. And people are like, hey, take my money.
Make money.
Yes. which is amazing. So, by the way,
we're so close-minded.
We are. Am I wrong, Hugo?
No, that can go anywhere.
Yeah. No, I mean, I love the art. Like, I love artists. I'm just like, oh man. And it, I get the same way though. I go to the art gallery, like in Boston or something, and you see these artworks. It's modern art, and it's just a white canvas with a black line and a green line
Campbell's
offset.
Soup can, no.
And well, even that's better artwork than I'm talking about. And like one corner is colored in red.
Yeah.
And it's like $20,000. And you're like, what is that?
Those guys need to teach marketing classes.
They're great at it.
They're good.
Yes,
good.
It's not art. It's marketing. I started off when I went to college. I started off as an art major and I quit because I couldn't get through the bullshit part of it. I was like, how about if art just looks good, sounds good, feels good, and we don't have to have stories to support it. It can support itself. And
yeah, you need money to support
it. You need money. Good. So good on those guys, I guess. But that's art. Exploding fish, it's a thing. I could have done that. Hey, wasn't there a whale that exploded on the beach? Was that art?
No, they blew it. You ever seen the blown up whale video where it crushes the car? That's incredible.
That's art.
It could be.
Yeah, who's the artist that splashes the paint?
Oh, I know who you mean, yeah.
Pollock?
Yeah, Jackson Pollock. It's Jackson Pollock with whale blubber. So,
there you go. And Pollock, that's a fish.
Perfect. Pollock is art. Perfect. You brought it back. All right. Next up. Women born without a vagina gets one made from tilapia fish skin. Finally, a use for tilapia.
I don't know where to go.
This is the real thing. This is for real. This is from Living Magazine.
Did you see the one that got inseminated in the tongue by eating uncooked squid?
Yes, I did. The part of her getting pregnant from that is false. But actually, squid sperm.
Fake news, right?
Squid sperm, I think, has little barbels in it.
That has the potential.
And this is from a giant squid. And I think I heard Rich Ross talking about this on Penn Jillette's podcast. I think Rich listens to this show too, by the way. He's like the worldwide squid and squid expert.
I love squid.
Yeah. So I love squid.
I don't want to get inseminated in my tongue by them, but yeah.
You're so close-minded, you know, until you try it.
You first.
Yeah. No, thanks. All right. I'm not afraid to admit I'm close-minded. A Brazilian woman born without a vagina has become the first in the world to undergo a pioneering reconstructive surgery that successfully created a new vaginal canal using the skins of tilapia. Now, tilapia are beautiful fish.
They're normal fish. Yeah.
Yeah, they're good-looking fish. Not sure.
They're fish, yeah.
Yeah, it's still a weird... all right. So researchers at the Federal University of Siqueira in northeast Brazil, led by gynecologist Dr. Leonard Bezerra, revealed the unprecedented procedure called neovaginoplasty, and it was performed on May 23rd. The unorthodox treatment is faster, cheaper, and less aggressive than the conventional method used by sufferers of the Meyer-Rokinski Custer-Hauster disease, a rare congenital disorder that affects 5,000 newborn girls and results in the absence of some or all of the female reproductive organs. So that must be a tough life not to have those parts.
I as well was born without a vagina.
I don't want to talk about my vagina. So.
I'm just happy I'm married. Don't need that showing up.
Don't need to navigate those waters. All right. The revolutionary treatment involves opening a space between the vagina and anus and inserting a tubular mold lined with the skin of this freshwater fish.
I think I've seen that movie.
Wasn't it like The Shape of Water? Didn't they just make a movie about it?
Weird, Jeff.
Women fall in love with fish. Never mind. There's so many things I want to say that I just think I'm going to be in trouble for. Idea. Once in contact with the patient's body, tilapia skin acts like stem cells and is absorbed and transformed into cellular tissue, forming the walls of the canal similar to that of an actual vagina. Fun fact, fish slime is a natural lubricant.
Hey.
I just added that. I didn't include that in the article. I'm going to skip ahead. This is a quote from the patient. At first, I was very scared to do it because I thought it would hurt and I was worried about might damage the opening, but it was a wonderful moment because everything worked perfectly. There was no pain and a great deal of pleasure and satisfaction for the first time she had sex. I didn't feel any discomfort and there was no bleeding. Everything felt sensitive in what I'm told is the right and normal way. It was perfectly natural, like the opening had always been there, she confided. So for her, it worked well. They didn't interview her partner to see how that went.
Yeah, for me, not so much.
I'd be curious. But, you know, good on them for figuring this out. And is there nothing that fish can't solve? There's no problem that fish can't do. And I guess good for her. The whole thing scares the hell out of me. Yeah. Tilapia also scare me in a lot of ways.
You know, it wouldn't be strange if she had a need to eat minnows, you know, or anything like that, because she's now part fish.
She's the only mermaid we can describe.
Is that Daryl Hannah? Daryl Hannah.
That's right. Daryl Hannah had her vagina was also lined with tilapia. All right. Well, I'm glad we had this little talk, you guys. And that is our regular fish in the news segment. And next up, we have Doc Martin, and she has some fake fish in the news. And actually, I drove her. She visited last week. I drove her from my house to the bus terminal, and we recorded these in the car. So you're going to hear car noises in the background. When you make a podcast like this, sometimes you record wherever you can and happen to be in the car. So tolerate that. You're going to love it. This is some really good stuff. And Doc's the best at what she does. So here's a Doc Martin.
Hey, Clay.
Hey, Doc.
We're going to do some fish in the news.
I love fish in the news, as you know.
And some of this is going to be you. I'm going to give you some things, mm-hmm. and then you're going to decide whether the news I tell you is real or fake.
Okay.
Okay. Because fake news is fun. Mm-hmm. Frustrating and fun. Mm-hmm. Okay, so first, do you know about the Corvina?
Okay, do I know about the Corvina fish?
Corvina fish.
I do not know about the Corvina fish. I don't think I do, although I always find that I know more than I think once we get into things. So
okay.
No, I don't know about the Corvina. I like to say it, though.
Okay, so the Corvina or Corvina drum mm-hmm. is a saltwater fish in the Cyanidae. So that's with your croakers and drums.
Mm-hmm. And by the way, I say, like I knew exactly mm-hmm. where you were going. Oh, of course, Cyanidae. Yes.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, absolutely.
And so, definitely not a Cypridae.
obviously. So it inhabits tropical and temperate coastal waters mm-hmm. from the southeastern Pacific and South America.
Okay.
And it is a highly prized food fish.
Right.
So now we know what the Corvina is.
Corvina.
So now here is my maybe true story.
All right.
Okay. So there were maybe some scientists.
There might have been scientists.
Might have been scientists. That were, let's see. They traveled to the Colorado River Delta, which empties into the Sea of Cortez. So that's where we're at. And Corvina come there to spawn.
All right. And so far, so good. That makes fine sense to me.
Okay.
It's all possible.
All possible all so far.
Very plausible. Fish spawn. There's a fish named Corvina. Okay. I'm in.
Boo-hoo. Okay. And what they did is we've talked before on the show about fish making noise.
Yes.
So we know fish make noise.
Right. All kinds of noise.
All kinds of noise.
Yep.
And it turns out that these scientists were measuring the noise in this bay area where they were, and they found that it was really, really loud. This particular area was very loud, and mm-hmm. they thought they had malfunctioning equipment. What they found out was that the Gulf Corvina's mating call is so loud that that's what they were picking up. And its exposure can harm the hearing of nearby animals and is rivaled by whales.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it is louder than the equivalent of standing next to the stage at a rock concert.
Mm. So now, having been next to a stage rock concert and heard what loud can be like.
Yes.
But these go to 11. And I've read about fish making incredible noises. Mm-hmm. Water is a great, great carrier of audio, mm-hmm. right?
So do these fish go, just made 10 louder, or did they go to 11?
They go to 11. And have you ever, you've been teaching for a few years,
mm-hmm.
you know, given your advanced age of more than 25. what when you get students in a room who are relatively quiet individuals.
Mm-hmm.
But then you start gathering them more and more together. So you get 2 students, 10 students, 20 mm-hmm. students, 30 students. Even at a low volume, when they're just talking at a regular tone of voice, the room noise gets crazy loud, right?
Wow.
Even when they're not intentionally getting louder, you just get the exponential noise growth.
More people.
Right. It gets more noise. So the question is, is this real news, right? Is it when a bunch of these fish get together to have mm-hmm. great big fish sex orgies?
Yep, that's exactly right.
Right, do they get loud? Now, having mm-hmm. never been to a sex orgy...
Of any species?
I've seen sucker orgies, and they splash a lot. I haven't heard any noise come out of the water. Right?
Were you listening?
No, but now I've got to get my audio equipment underwater next year for the spawn and see.
Absolutely.
So can they mm-hmm. get together and make a lot of noise?
And
they are
that rivals a rock concert.
That rivals a rock concert. And it's how do you... yes, I think it's totally
it's
true. Yes, I think it is. Yes.
It is true.
Yeah.
The study was published in Biology Letters in 2017.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. So yes, and I don't know.
I'm two for two.
Yeah, you're two for two. Let's see. This is the title of this paper was "A Sound Worth Saving," but the title of the news article was "Massive Fish Orgy Produces Loudest Noise Under the Sea."
I could have written this.
Journalists get to have more fun.
I know it's like they're in my brains.
Yeah.
That's just great. That was almost what I came up with in our little discussion there.
That was pretty close.
I was imagining a massive orgy and noise happening. And
yep, you were right.
Wow. Okay, that's I'm so useless.
To be a journalist.
That's great news.
Yeah.
That is, it's
quality.
It warms me up inside to know that like all kinds of animals have fun. And so like,
that's right.
To me, that just sounds like, you know, a perfect day out for a fish. You know, unless they all die after. Like, being a salmon would be the worst.
I don't know. You die doing what you love.
Yeah, but you can only do it once.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. YOLO. Well, good on those guys. So, massive orgies make noise.
For the Corvina.
That's a takeaway there.
Yeah. That is, yep.
Corvina. It's mm-hmm. amazing. I love it. I love that story. I love stuff like that. Thanks, Doc.
Yep. All right.
So that's it. So, guys, final thoughts on the day. Parting
it was
words.
Good dinner.
It was good. It was very good. And Hugo, you are part of a culinary Facebook group, right?
Yeah.
What's that group's name?
What's our group's name? The Culinary Connection.
Are you both in charge of that?
The two of us started it.
I didn't know which one of you. I knew Hugo for
culinary,
sure.
Well, what happened was it started as a page called Cape Cod Pole to Plate, and the guy who run that the guy who ran that kind of went off the deep end.
Mm-hmm.
So then
wasn't that start, you?
No, it was
no.
Not me.
Okay.
That one. I'm still treading water. So then we started our own group from scratch, and now it's the Culinary Connection.
Right, it was outdoor cooking something.
Outdoor Culinary Connection.
And then it became the Culinary Connection.
Yes.
And I love it. I love that page because, first of all, when I get stuck cooking something, I'll put a picture up there and somebody, usually you, Ryan, will go on and say, oh, you're doing that all wrong. Or don't use a propane smoker or use a bigger smoker. You have all these, like, always, you know.
We
the
get
answers.
That. And there's no egos, too. So we get good recommendations.
There's a lot of egos.
Online, yeah.
It is better than most cooking groups.
I'll agree to that.
Chefs need to have an ego because mm-hmm. they do. What, and I don't consider myself a chef, but they do what everybody does.
I'm a home cook.
Day in and day out of their life. You know, they, like, if, you know, you talk to a woman and say, please pay me $50 for this dish. I know you're 62 years old and been cooking for the past 50 years, and I'm 34, but I promise you it's better than you can cook. So you need that ego to sell your food.
Well, I mean, anyone in sales, you got to believe in yourself and your product. So that's good. It's a great page. So get there. I'll put links up, of course.
Thank you. Yeah. Yeah.
As always.
Yeah, it's a good friendly group. Yeah. And, I've learned a lot from cooking there. And
or learn from other people and what we cook and see other people's dishes every night. And it's a friendly group. It's awesome. It's
good fun. And I got to tell you,
Hugo, Fish Nerds is.
One of the things, Hugo, for me with you, and one of the reasons that I know you is the photos you take. Like, you could do a whole video series or some series on how to take photos of food. Taking food photos is stupidly hard. It's really hard. And I would say your photos sell everything you do. So good.
You get it in the window with the shade down. So you, and on two sides, you know, I did photography stuff. So you get the angles in, it makes it look pretty. And Ryan Cook's a million times better than me, but I can take a picture or something with the right angle. And I got the studio lights at home and everything, you know, but you just put the angle on it. If at the end of the day with the, if I got the right shades in the window, it looks pretty. And Ryan will kick my ass because I'll make a pizza, and I can't make a pizza to save my ass. And I'd posted it, and people are like, oh my God, that's phenomenal.
Because
the
pictures do the work.
The picture looks good.
Well, we can't taste it.
But it's crap.
Yeah. We can't taste it. I mean, I've done that. I remember when I first started cooking, I was on a date, and I was going to impress my girlfriend. And I cooked this nice meal, and I made homemade croissants. And they came out of the oven looking beautiful, right? Smelled great. Russian butter, all nice and buttery and delicious. She got to the table, and we couldn't even break them open. I made the recipe for Play-Doh and not for bread dough. And because I made it out of my head, I thought I had it memorized. And it turns out my kid recipes were in my head, not the real ones. So they look great. Like, I could take photos of those and sell them. But until someone tried to eat them, I'd be on the winning side of that.
So that's it. You've been listening to a bunch of fish nerds when you should have been fishing.
We'd like to thank our families for supporting us while we podcast, go on fishing quests, and doing all the silly things that nerds do.
Special thanks to Hugo and Ryan for having me come down to Poland, Maine, and eat fish tacos. An hour drive to Tahoe. Well worth it. Big thanks to Doc Martin for the fishing steak in the news.
So until next time, follow the code of the fish nerds. Spawn early and often.
Never trust a free lunch with strings attached.
And swim against the current every chance you get.
That's it. You guys made a podcast.
Hey, fancy.
Mother's Day is almost here, and you can get her the most beautiful time-tested gift around. A watch she can wear every day from Movement. Whether your mom is into classic dress watches, rare and refined ceramics, or tried and true bestsellers, Movement has something she'll love. And right now, everything at Movement is up to 50% off site-wide during their Mother's Day sale. A watch is a gift that celebrates all the time you spent with mom. And a Movement watch is even more than that. Movement uses industry-leading materials for their fresh, modern watch designs, from technically complex ceramics to vintage-inspired style, all for an incredible value your wrist and wallet will both love. And with one-size-fits-all convenience and fast, free shipping and returns, it's a stress-free shopping experience. Save big on the best Mother's Day gift ever with Movement. Get up to 50% off site-wide during their Mother's Day sale at MVMT.com. Again, that's up to 50% off at MVMT.com.